The Canyon Flyer. Ernesto rolled the pebble between his fingers and stared out at the road, watching for the cloud of dust that would rise when the truck came to take them to the fields where their short-handled hoes would hack the beets under the leaves and their fingers too if they weren't careful. El Norte was supposed to be better than this, Ernesto thought, but the money was more than anything an 18-year-old could have earned in Chihuahua. His back was killing him, and he hadn't bathed in weeks of 12-hour workdays. The Texans made him sick with the words they yelled in town when the workers tried to buy food on the weekend, filthy and half-dead from picking beets that would die on the vines if the braceros hadn't come. It was their government who had called them there when the war started, and they were ungrateful. Oranges and pinks spilled out of the flat horizon and streamed upward in the only bit of heaven Ernesto saw each day. Usually he only heard heaven, because that's what his brother's low-humming song was to him. But Amador was quiet this morning. Ernesto looked at his brother. "You promised," his eyes said. But Amador looked away, his long hair flying around his face. On the night years ago, when the promise was made, they were lying side by side in their bed, resting under the dusty stream of moonlight. Their father's snoring had awakened them. They giggled in silence, the kind of giggle they had shared since they were in their mother's womb. By the time the humor of their father's grumbling roar faded, they weren't sleepy anymore. Wide awake, they stared into each other's eyes, mouthing words and speaking in a way the brothers could hear in their hearts. With their hands, they made shapes that told each other their thoughts, both common and unique. "Want to talk?" one hand shape asked as Ernesto touched his mouth. "No," Amador's hand shaped with emphasis, tired of talk. He covered his mouth with his hand, shut his eyes, and then opened them again. There was nothing else to say. Ernesto opened his brother's hand. With this movement, he motioned as if taking something from his heart and something from his head. Ernesto would speak for them both, and in return, Amador would sing for his brother every day. To seal the promise, Amador sat up in bed and took a bite of the moonbeam shooting over them. He let it rest. He let it rest heavily in his mouth, on his stilled tongue. From now on, there was room only for truth. He would listen to the sounds of the world as if they were the drumbeats for the song he would sing. A song that would last until he had nothing more to give. A song that he would perfect each day until he got it right. Every day now, Ernesto watched his brother close his eyes and listen to the patterns, the rhythms most pleasant to his ears, the moving of feet, the flapping of wings, the rustling of leaves, the beating of hearts. When Amador found the combination of rhythms that moved him, he opened his mouth and sang wordlessly, letting the sound swirl around everything seen and unseen. But today, instead of the low hum of Amador's song for the new day, Ernesto heard the growl of an airplane, the same one that had passed over the day they arrived. The braceros were silenced. From the plane, a hand threw out a stack of papers that rained down, swishing from side to side. Amador smiled for the first time that morning. He reached his arms up, and a piece of paper floated into his hands. Picking up the flyers, the foreign words stared at the men from the page. "Ingles," someone said. "Can anyone read this?" Discouraged, some men folded the papers and put them in their back pockets. Some grumbled, crumpling up the flyers, throwing